every day with love as I walk with the heavenly dove. Let me go all the while with a song and a smile, fill my way every day with love. Let me walk with the Lord in the way thou hast gone, straight to the land above, into every way to the silent throne, fill my way every day with love.
Praise the Lord. The Lord bless each one this morning, and we give everyone a very warm welcome in their service. And if you're here for the first time, we welcome you and want you just to feel comfortable. Also want to give Sister Lauren a comfort as a church. Her grandmother passing, and I know she was a wee saved woman, so she's in heaven, absent from the Lord, and we do pass on her greetings from absent from the body, friend of the Lord. Thanks, brother. We're praying for the whole family, and you know, even though somebody's saved, it's still hard, isn't it? Even though they're still saved, it's hard, you know, when you lost someone. But you know, Rock told me a story one time of a man on a job, and this man was witnessing to a young fella. He was trying to get him saved, and he was quite an age of a man, and he was witnessing to him all the time, and he wanted to see the young fella saved. And the man himself, the Christian man, took sick, and he's very ill, and they were all praying for him, and they were in such a panic praying for him. And the young fella says to him, "What are you worried about?" He says, "Because that man's been telling me for years he can't wait to leave here and to go to be with the Lord, because he's going to a better place." So he says, "I don't see what the panic's all about." And that's hard for us to understand, but that is the truth. Heaven is a superior place to hear. The Lord made this earth in 6 days, and he rested on the seventh. And he says in John 14, "I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also." 2,000 years, he's been away preparing a place, a better place, praise God. And we just thank the Lord that he is coming again. He's coming for a people that's ready, praise the Lord. Well, it's good, as our brother Gary said, our brother John's home. and he's a few pains, but we're glad he's home. We're glad he's home. There's so many stories recently of farmers, especially. Young man, the same age as me, only a young fella, in Banbridge. And they found him in the ring feeder. They just seen the shoulder, dead. And then they found another man away up the country, and he had no clothes on him whatsoever. And the bull gored him all round, and all the clothes come off him. And they never found him for several days. And he was naked, gored to death with a bull. So we're glad our Uncle John that he's home and he's well. And he's a few aches and pains, but he's still with us, and he's rejoicing in the Lord. Praise God. And we do want to remember all the sick as well this morning, as our brothers prayed. This morning, we want to dedicate Elsie, Aris Cunningham, and I just want to say, as a fellowship, we don't believe in infant baptism. It's a Roman Catholic doctrine. We don't believe in it. It's not scriptural. They take it from circumcision, from the Old Testament. So they take it totally out of its context. And they sprinkle water over children. Some do the cross over them and all them things. But we don't believe in that. But we believe in dedication. Because the Lord himself said, suffer the little children to come unto me. And he blessed them. He blessed the children. So that's what we're committed to do scripturally, is to bless them in the name of the Lord. And pray for them. And we heard on Thursday night in our prayer and Bible study how Hannah was barren and she couldn't have children. And she cried unto the Lord, and the Lord gave her Samuel. And there was no open vision in them days, it says. Samuel was a man of God. And she said, Lord, if you give me a man child, I'll give him back to you. And as Colin and Lydia come this morning with Elsie, they're really giving her back to the Lord. They're giving her to the Lord. They're saying to the Lord, I thank you for her. And every child is a gift from the Lord. We saw that as well on Thursday night. They're precious. Children are precious gifts from the Lord. And we're living in a terrible, wicked world where unborn babies are being murdered all the time. And even in government, they promote it. They say nothing about it. It's an absolute disgrace. But think of this. One day, there's going to be a judgment. And all them wee babies shall be there. And I tell you, some of the terrors you read, when you read through the dark ages of the Roman Church, how they murdered babies and sniffed their breath out, killed them on cold slabs. It's precious to have children in the eyes of the Lord. And you want to look after them well. Praise God. And Elsie Aris Cunningham. Elsie, it's a pet form of the Hebrew name Elizabeth, which itself is derived from Hebrew. God is perfection, or God is my oath. So you're working with a bit of perfection, brother. That's what you have produced. Praise God. You know, we have the wee granddaughter over at the minute, and she's the loveliest child in the world. And your child will be the loveliest child. It's not the way you look at it. Every little child, grandparents just love them, don't they? And they are beautiful. They are beautiful. And Aris is a form, a Greek form, rainbow. And God's rainbow was a covenant sign. It's a sign of God. Seven colors. And seven speaks of God's perfection again. So you have perfection in the first name, and you have perfection in the second name. Isn't that wonderful? So you have two perfections in the one name, in her whole name. So if you bring her up, brother and sister, and Colin and Lydia, and we'll dedicate her to the Lord. Elsie Aris Cunningham. You know, you have the sayings of life. You ever hear it said, oh, he or she's Miss Perfectionist? You never heard that? But they really haven't been this morning. The two names. Praise God. Well, come your head as well, George. Praise the Lord. She's beautiful. She is beautiful. And it's great that Colin and Lydia can come and just give her on to the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's just close our eyes. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for wee Elsie Harris coming on this morning. Lord, we lift her in our arms before you. And bless her, Lord. In Jesus' precious name. Bless Colin, bless Lydia. Help the Lord all the days of her life to bring her up in admiration of the Lord. And we ask your anointing and spirit to be upon her. Keep her safe all the days of her life. In Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. The Lord bless you. Praise the Lord. Well, she is beautiful, I tell you. She is beautiful. She doesn't take it after you, Colin. She's her mom's looks. Only joking, you brother. I'm only joking, you brother. Praise the Lord. Isn't the Lord good? Praise God. We're going to turn to the Word of God this morning. I had a message yesterday, and then I got up this morning, and it changed, but it's the same scriptures, but just different thoughts. I didn't want to get too much hay on the fork. And let's turn to Matthew 27. And I won't read all of it because it's from chapter 6, verse 16 of Matthew 27. Matthew 27. And verse 16, you remain seated because it's quite a lengthy portion to read. Therefore, when they were gathered together, Pilate said unto them, Whom will ye that I release unto you, Barabbas or Jesus, which is Christ? For he knew that for envy they had delivered him. When he was set down on the judgment seat, his wife sent unto him, saying, Have thou nothing to do with this just man? For I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. But the chief priests and the elders persuaded the multitude that they should ask Barabbas and destroy Jesus. And the governor answered and said unto them, Whither of the twain will ye that I release unto you? They said, Barabbas. Now, if we just jump down a bit till verse 34, just for way of time, you can read it while I'm speaking this morning. They gave him vinegar to drink, mingled with gall, and when they had tasted thereof, he would not drink. And they crucified him, and parted his garment, cast in lots, that it might be fulfilled which is spoken by the prophets. They parted my garments among themselves, and upon my vesture did they cast lots. And sitting down, they watched him there, and set over its head the accusation written, This is Jesus, King of the Jews. This is our key verse now. Then there were two thieves crucified with him, one on the right hand and another on the left. And they that passed by reviled him, wagging their heads and saying, Thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself. If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross. Likewise also the chief priests, mocking him and the scribes and elders, said, He saved others, himself he cannot save. And if he be the king of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe him. He trusted in God, let him deliver him now, if he will have him. For he said, I am the Son of God. The thieves also which were crucified with him cast the same in his teeth. Now for the sake of time, I'll stop there. You could read on down if you want while I'm sharing with you this morning. Praise God. This morning I want to take for a few moments for a text from this scripture, the villains at Calvary. And these two thieves on the cross are villains. They've been crucified because they're robbers. And they might even have killed people in the robberies. And we know Barabbas was a villain and a murderer. And here we see that they've released Barabbas, a murderer, a villain, and they said, crucify Jesus. And here also is two men, and these two men have been crucified side by side with the Lord. The Lord's in the middle. And we know that the Lord Jesus is stripped naked on the cross, and he's put to an open shame. Galatians says, cursed is everyone that hangeth upon the tree. Now, there's three things I want to really look at this morning in our service. And the first one is the perniciousness of the villains. That means the deadliness of them. want you to see how bad they were. And I have to show you how bad they were, because maybe you're sitting here this morning and you think you're a real bad person and the Lord can't save you. But the vilest offender who truly believes that moment from Jesus, a pardon receives. Also, the second thing I want you to see is the position of these villains. Their position. Where they were crucified? At the sides of the Lord. And the third thing is the prophecy and scripture of these villains. God being almighty. I was thinking this morning, I was standing at that door and I was looking across to the graveyard. And our Catholic neighbors here this morning are up praying to the dead. But you're wasting your time praying to the dead. It's called the spirit of necromancy. You cannot pray to the dead. You're forbidden by scripture to pray to the dead. Jesus Christ, we can pray to him because he's alive. He's not dead. But if you were to say to them this morning, and they talk about Holy Mary, the mother of God, and I was thinking this morning of that thought in the hallway, God has no mother. God is no beginning, he's no ending, he's no father, he's no mother, he's no ascent, and he's no descent. Before ever there was time or this earth, he pre-existed alone with his thoughts. And he's Almighty God, the self-existing one. That's what he was ever before he was even known as God. And he became God when he first began to create, and he made his angels to worship him. Then he became God, but he was the self-existing one ever before that. So God can have no mother. We know that. You see the wickedness of these villains. These two villains in scripture are called malefactors. And that means thieves. In Luke 23, verse 33. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him. And the malefactors, that's where I got my word from, one on the right hand and one on the left hand. So they're crucified one to each side. And on our own reading in verse 38 of Matthew 27, there were two thieves crucified with him, one on the right and one on the left. Mark's gospel also talks about it in Mark 15, 27, and calls them thieves. Luke emphasizes that they were bad men. Luke tells us they were bad men, while Matthew calls them thieves. Mark emphasizes that they everything that was about them was bad. And the word thieves translated in Matthew and Mark, it's worth noting, for it describes a particular kind of faith when you really study it. There are two words in the Greek for a faith. One emphasizes violence and openness and stealing, and it emphasizes all these things. So these were bad boys. Now we have people in this country that's killed and have stolen. And I hear people saying, he never could go to heaven. He's done this and he's done that. But the Lord Jesus can save anybody. You could have the most sainted person. Let me say this morning. You could have a holy churchgoer. That's what I'll call them. Self-righteous churchgoer. That never spilled a glass of milk. That never done a thing. And if they're not born again, they go straight to hell. Just like the murderer. If he's not born again. Isn't that something? Now I know people don't like to hear that a murderer could go to heaven, but if he really repents, he can. Now I believe the first applies here to these two thieves. They robbed people openly with violence, and in doing so, this was actually the same accusation against Barabbas. He done the same. John 18:40 then cried they again, saying, not this man, but Barabbas. Now Barabbas was a robber. You imagine the prince, the Lord of all glory, they crucify him and they release Barabbas. They release a murderer in place of Jesus. And people, oh, I would never do that. How many today reject Christ? How many today reject him and re-crucify him? Many are doing it. You see, in Mark 15, verse 7, it tells us about Barabbas. For there was one named Barabbas which lay bound with them, that had made insurrection with them and had committed murder. So when I tell you Barabbas is a murderer, I know what I'm talking about, because the Bible knows what it's talking about, and that's what I'm reading. He was a murderer. Josephus said that Palestine was infested with robbers. The story of the Good Samaritan told by our Lord shows that in Luke 10, verse 30 to 35. Now Rome went after these men who often murdered in the robberies, and they crucified many of them. Rome went after them, and they crucified them. But they were villains, they were robbers. And these two villains crucified with Christ are traditionally associated with Barabbas. They could have been mates of Barabbas. Do you know that? They could have been friends with them, Barabbas. And the cross on which Christ died, where Barabbas should have been for the robberies and the violence, Christ's on that cross. The cross that Barabbas should have been on, Christ is on it. Do you ever think of that? Now I want you to see the position of these villains for a moment. In Mark 15:27, it says, "And with them they crucified two thieves, the one on the right hand, the other on the left. The thief on each side of Jesus." This was to put shame on the Lord. They were shaming him. They weren't happy just to crucify the Lord. But when they put him in the middle of them two thieves, what they were saying to every passerby was, "He's the worst one." That's what that means. Because Jesus Christ was in the middle, that was saying to everyone that saw it, "He's the worst. That boy in the middle is the worst." Now, what had the Lord done wrong to be crucified? Nothing. And Pilate even said that. You see, this meaning that Christ was the worst in the middle. Now, this lets us see how he took the place of the lowest sinner. Because he was the worst of them, the baddest of them, that's where they placed him. That was done prophetically, because Jesus takes the place of the worst and baddest and deepest and darkest sinner. The drug addict, the prostitute, the alcoholic, the gun runner. I don't care how bad they are, Jesus Christ takes the place of all. And here this is a sign saying that the worst of all, he's taken the position of the worst of all. And he can save all. And I want to say this morning, he can save no one but sinners. No one but sinners. Christ died to save sinners. Hallelujah. He took our shame and our sin on the cross. The vilest offender truly believes that moment from Jesus, a pardon receives. Philippians 2, 7 and 8 says this, "But made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in likeness of man, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." Isaiah 53:12 says, "Therefore will I divide him his portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors." Numbered with the transgressors. "And he bore the sin of many, and he made intercession for the transgressors." You see, this scripture is for the transgressor this morning. And every one of us has transgressed God's law. And every one of us has fallen short of the glory of God. And because of Adam's sin, every one of us are sinners. Sin entered into the world by one man. So death passed upon all men because of sin. But Jesus Christ, the second Adam, the Lord from heaven, he took our place. He stood in our room and he stood in our stead. And he was placed in the center cross beside two villains, two malefactors, saying to the whole world, showing to all, "I'm taking the place of the worst." And yet he was the best. Isn't that wonderful? Mark 15 and 28 says, "And the scripture was fulfilled which saith, and he was numbered with the transgressors." I want you to see also this prophecy of the villains this morning. God being God foreknew everything. God being God foretold all these events through prophecy. And the Bible tells us, when you get into the book of Hebrews, how that God spake in times past through the mouth of the prophets. It reads like this: "In some dry times and divers manners God spake unto us by the prophets, but in these last days have spoken unto us by his Son, Jesus Christ." But God, through his prophets, spoke of the coming of the Lord. They spoke of Calvary. Isaiah 53:12 told us that. We read that. For he died for the transgressors. Jesus Christ died in the center of the cross, the just for the unjust. And in his death, as well as in his life, he was holy and he was harmless and he was undefiled. Pilate says, "I find no fault in him." His own wife said, "Be careful what you do with this man. For I've dreamed this night because of him." Hebrews 7 verse 26 says, "For such an high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, made higher than the heavens." You know, I know I've told this before, but I'm going to tell it again about William Mullen. The late William Mullen, a Baptist pastor here in Northern Ireland, is mightily used of God. He had a neighbor which was a great artist, a great painter. And he came to William Mullen and he was so excited. And he says, "Pastor Mullen, I have a wonderful painting. I want you to see it." And William Mullen went and he seen the painting. And the painting was of Christ before Pilate. And William Mullen never spoke a word. And he never said nothing for a long time. And the fellow says to him, "Well, what do you think of it?" And he says, "I'm seeing a better painting than yours." And he was offended. And he says, "You're seeing a better painting than my painting. I thought my painting was a wonderful painting." He says, "The painting I'm seeing is Pilate before Christ." 2,000 years ago, Christ stood before Pilate. But do you realize one day there's going to be a great white throne judgment and Pilate will stand before Christ? And every man that's not saved and every woman that's not saved will stand before Christ. And the word of God says we all have to give an account of the things we've done in the flesh. That's why we need God's remedy. God's remedy was poured out on the cross. God's remedy is the precious blood of Jesus Christ, which cleanses from all sin and from all unrighteousness. We need that remedy. You know, if you weren't well and the doctor could give you a remedy for different ailments, I'll tell you this, it just comes to my mind. Now, I've been on many missionary trips to Africa, as you know, and I've read lots of stuff. And I read of a very famous missionary who went out to one of the parts of Africa. And there's a wee black fella, and he was very ill, a wee boy. He was very sick. And the missionary gave the parents some money and they called for a doctor and the doctor prescribed a medicine for him. And really what he had wasn't too bad. The medicine would cure it, what they were able to give him, but he didn't have the money for the medicine. But the missionary gave the money for the medicine. And they got the medicine bottle and they tied it round his neck and then the instructions on the bottle and the parents tied it round his neck, the bottle of medicine, so he wouldn't lose it. And he went about for several days, but he was no better. He carried the medicine with him, but he never took it. And they come back to the missionary and they said, "This bottle of medicine's made no difference to them." And you know what parts of Africa, the superstition stuff they were for witch doctors and stuff, and they were wearing it. And the missionary says, "No, you don't wear it. You read what the bottle says. There's instructions on the bottle. And the instruction says, one spoonful in the morning, one spoonful in the evening. And you need to take the medicine." The medicine was with them the whole time. It was in the bottle, but he never took it. He never applied it. And the blood of Jesus Christ this morning is available to wash you and cleanse you from all sin and from all unrighteousness. But you need to apply it. The pastor can't apply it for you. Your mother or father can't. You have to do it your own self. But thank God the Bible says, "All that come unto me, I will in no wise cast out." Matthew 27:44 says, "The thieves also which were crucified with him cast the same in his teeth." Psalms 37:12, "The wicked plotted against the just and gnasheth upon him with their teeth." These thieves cursed the Lord, both of them. Don't think that only one of them done it, because I can prove to you, both of them gnashed upon him with their teeth. They cursed him. They didn't praise him. Job 16, verse 9 to 11 says this. He teareth me with his wrath. He heareth me. He gnasheth upon me with his teeth. Mine enemy sharpened his eye upon me. They have gaped upon me with their mouth. They have smitten upon my cheek reproachfully. They have gathered themselves together against me. God have delivered me to the ungodly and turned me over into the hands of the wicked. This is Job's own experience, but it's prophetic. It's a prophetic message Job's experiencing of the cross, because God's writing it in the Old Testament prophetically. Psalms 35 and 15 says, with hypocrisy, mockers, and feasts, they gnashed upon me with their teeth. Now I want you to see for a moment the change that took place on one of these villains. There's a change that took place. And I want to say this morning that a change can only take place on a man or a woman if the Holy Spirit moves them. And if the Holy Spirit doesn't move someone, they'll never change. You could go and say, he was that fella, you know, we went to hear such a man, he's a wonderful preacher. That's brilliant, but did you get saved? Were you changed? Or did you just say he was a wonderful preacher? See, only the Holy Spirit can move someone to save them. Luke 23, 39. Let's look at this for a moment. And one of the malefactors was hanged, railed on him, saying, if thou be the Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? Now, in this occasion, one of them does it, but you read other scriptures that they both gnashed on him. But the Holy Spirit is moving in one of these men. Now, this is predestination here. Here it's before us. One of these men is moved by the Spirit of God to get saved, and the other one's not moved. We can do nothing about that. Nothing. That's God's business. But we have to preach it to all. Big Ian Paisley once said, when all the elect come in and no one else is coming, I will pray for God to elect some more. I like that. Isn't that wonderful? I'll pray that God will elect some more. That was just the way he said it, and I think it's good. Praise God. Verse 30. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus saith unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Now, wonderful. All he did was say to the Lord, remember me. How simple is that? Remember me, Lord. This villain was saved just before the 3 hours of darkness. And the Spirit of God moved in this one villain, and his eyes and his understanding was open to the salvation of Christ. And you know, in the 3 hours of darkness, and I haven't time this morning to take you into it, but there was 3 hours of darkness for God turned his back. And for Jesus cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And Jesus Christ in the 3 hours of darkness took your hell, and he took my hell, and he took all the wrath of a holy God, what should have been due for you and me. Jesus took it in those 3 hours of darkness. The sun and the moon blacked out for 3 hours. And the only time it stopped when Jesus cried those words, it's finished. Reminds me of down in Exodus. The children of Egypt were in bondage, but God was going to bring them out. And God gave the prophet Moses the instructions to apply the token, the blood, on the doorposts. And when I see the blood, the death angel had to pass. And there was darkness. There was so many hours of darkness in Egypt. And the Bible says this. It was gross darkness that could be felt. And I tell you, there's darkness for the man or woman that's not saved. And don't listen to any nonsense. The word of God's the absolute. It's absent from the body and present with the Lord for the saved. But there's a place called hell for the unsaved. And hell was never made for man. Hell was made for the devil and all the fallen angels that followed Satan. And the Bible said hell has enlarged her mouth. And many today are not walking to hell, they're running to hell. But I want to just come onto the straight road and run to heaven. Romans 10 and 13, and I'm almost finished. I'll not be long this morning. Romans 10 and 13 says, for whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Here this faith was cursing the Lord. He was cursing the Lord. Both of them were, but one of them changed. The Holy Spirit moved in one. The Holy Spirit of God spoke to one. The Holy Spirit of God done something inside one of them. And he changed his thinking. The Spirit of God moved him. And he realized that Jesus had done no wrong. And he realized that Jesus was special and he was unique because he's the only begotten Son of God. Special, unique one. John 3:16 says, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Jesus loves you today. He loves you today. And he wants to save you. He wants to save you from sin. And he wants to save you the whole way to heaven. We don't believe in this house about being saved and lost. We believe once you're really saved, you're always saved. Because you never saved yourself. The Lord saved you. And the Lord says, none have I lost that thou hast given me. I thank you, O Father. Maybe there's someone sitting in this service this morning. Maybe you were saved. Maybe the devil told you you weren't saved. Maybe you've got backslidden. You've got away from the Lord. I want to tell you this morning that Jesus is forever married to the backslider. He still loves you the same. Jesus' love doesn't go up and down and wither about. It remains the same. He loves you this morning. No love like the Lord's love. I don't care how good a couple of marriage you have. I don't care how good of a marriage you have. They'll still have the odd wee tiffle, won't they? I've got no amens, but I know that's a fact. I could go back and tell you how me and the wife and Sister Jenny can remember fell out over a packet of sausages. Imagine falling out over a packet of sausages. We never spoke for 2 days over a packet of sausages. Did you ever hear like that, brother-in-law? But the making up was great. You see, as human beings, our love goes up and down. And we sometimes say to people, I love you, but it's just hot air. Hot wind. There's no real heart felt. Now, you could say it and you really mean it with all your heart. But the Lord loves you. The Lord really loves you. God is love. God's love never goes up, it never goes down. But God's love remains the same. When you first get saved, well, the love we give you then is the same tonight, this morning. The Lord loves you. The Lord loves you so much he took your place. The Lord loves you so much when they whipped his back, it was for you. When they pierced the nails through his hands, it was for you. When they plucked his beard, it was for you. When they spat on his beautiful face, and the Bible said he was marred more than any man. Jesus Christ loves you this morning. And he wants to save you. He doesn't want you to go to hell. He wants to save you. He wants you to save you the whole way to heaven and home. Translate it from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son. What a Savior. I want to tell you in the authority of this book this morning, he's coming. And there's going to be a rapture of the church. There's going to be a catching away. And this world, the Antichrist, is going to take over. And no one can buy or sell without the number or the mark of the beast. But I want to tell you this morning, you need to be ready. Ready for the coming of the Lord. Let's stand our feet this morning. Praise God. In case I forget, we'll be back tonight at 6 o'clock. And last week we looked at 52 salvation truths that the early church had that was lost. And we're going to maybe continue tonight if the Lord leads. Let's close our eyes this morning for a moment. I can't save you, but the Lord Jesus can. I'm not going to even ask you to raise your hand or anything like that. But I want you to be sincere. Be sincere. If you are really sincere, the Lord will hear you. If you're not where you should be or want to be, I want you to pray within yourself. I saw on Thursday night, Hannah just whispered, her lips moved, her voice was silent, but God heard it. God heard it. Well, you're standing, you can whisper to the Lord. You can say, Lord, forgive me of my sins and save me. Save me. Come into my heart. Change me. Deliver me and save me. Will you do that this morning if the Lord's speaking to you? And if there's any here and you need a real touch from the Lord, I'm going to pray for you. I want you to believe. I want you to believe for your standing for the Lord's touch. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning that the word of God is yea and amen in Christ Jesus. Father, I pray you'll grant designing grace to each and every one in this room. Save the unsaved, we pray. We claim everyone in this house. We claim every son and every daughter outside of this house. We pray that the Holy Spirit will work on them. We plead the precious blood of Jesus upon them. And Father, we ask you'll go to working upon them and save them. We thank you for the work of the cross. We thank you that you took our place. You stood in our room and you stood in our stead. And we love you this morning with all of our hearts because you first loved us. Lord, I'm asking you this morning for any suffering in this room, pains and aches. Thinking of a brother Mark this morning. I come against the spirit of infirmity and I rebuke it in Jesus Christ's name. I pray from the crown of the head to the soles of the feet, touch those in this house. And Father, touch your brother Mark from the crown of his head to the soles of his feet. Strengthen his body. Give him strength against every virus. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Thank you for how you've worked on our brother John. We praise you and we give you all the glory. We pray you'll raise him to full health and strength in Jesus' precious name. Father, the song leader comes. Help us, we pray, this morning. Fitted us with salvation above all. And we'll be careful to give you all the praise and all the glory. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. God bless each one as our brother Gary comes. And we'll be back tonight at 6 o'clock. The Lord bless each one.
We'll sing the hymn, Jesus Was Slain For Me. At Calvary. Jesus was slain for me, Calvary. Crowned with thorns was he, Calvary. There from his open side, poured forth the crimson tide. Thank you. sing one more before we close in prayer. A wonderful love that rescued me, sunk deep in sin.